what's going on, family? Welcome to another episode of Tariq Radio. I am here. This is Tariq Nasheed, ready to chop it up with the family. Glad to have y'all tuning in at a great, wonderful end of the week broadcast. The phone number is 818-850-5404. That is the number. We're going to take a very fast commercial break, and I do mean fast, so don't you move a muscle. We'll be right back right here on Tariq Radio.
Yo, you still ain't getting women? Really? Come on, son. You need to go to badboymembership.com and step up your game. What's up, y'all? It's your boy, Mr. Locario, the bad boy of the dating game, and I'm telling you that if you really want to attract beautiful women, you need to go to badboymembership.com. This is where you get 45 through 90 minute step-by-step dating advice tutorials every month. Just sign up, follow the advice, and you'll get the woman you want. Go to badboymembership.com. That's badboymembership.com.
What up, everybody? It's your boy, Chris Man, everybody. And I got a brand new video game app out right now, everybody. It's called Crispy's Biscuits, everybody. And you can get the Crispy's Biscuits app right now on the iPhone Apple Store, everybody. And you can also get it on the Google Play Store, everybody. As a matter of fact, everybody, it was the number one game on Google Play all last week, everybody. The game is so exciting, everybody. There's 10 levels you can help me get through, everybody. Where I'm dodging bottles of lotion, everybody. I'm dodging hair clippers, everybody. And I'm dodging taco meat, everybody. So get the Crispy's Biscuits game right now, everybody, at crispysbiscuits.com, everybody. Now I'm about to do my coon laugh, everybody.
The most intense new video game app has now arrived. A medieval kingdom has been plagued with chaos and disorder. An evil force has dominated the land. And now it is up to the bravest knights to fight back the demonic forces and bring justice to the kingdom of the Moors. Play the newest, most exciting Battlefight game app ever, Moorish Kingdom. Available at moorishkingdom.com.
You're now tuning into the king of game, Tariq Elite, on Tariq Elite Radio.
Yo, I am back. I am back. Glad to. I told y'all that was going to be a quick commercial. We're back. And we're here, ladies and gentlemen. Glad to have y'all tuning in. We're going to make it do what it do. I hope you guys all have your Hidden Colors DVDs, Hidden Colors 1, 2, 3, and 4. And I hope you have your 1804 DVD, The Hidden History of Haiti. You know, I'm thinking about doing a Mac-ish package. A lot of people, and some of you new listeners might not be familiar with the Mac-ish package. I have a lot of new listeners that haven't been around. But every blue moon, I have a sale of a lot of our merchandise. And we'll have it at like a discounted rate of like $99. We give away a lot of stuff. So I'm thinking about having a little summertime Mac-ish package. I'm really thinking about doing that. Just for a couple of days. We'll have it like a two-day sale. And we'll give away a bunch of clothes, DVDs, books, just to make it real fresh. So I'm thinking about doing that. The thing is, I've been kind of holding off on it because we've been very busy at the office. And when we do the Mac-ish packages, it becomes very swamped. Then we have to start, you know, my employees got to work overtime getting all those packages out. But everybody's been asking about the Mac-ish package. And I'm going to make that happen pretty soon. I might do it in a couple of days. I'll announce it this Sunday on Ustream if we're going to do the Mac-ish package for the summer. It's already summer, but we want to get people nice, fresh, gamed up, the shades. Yeah, put all that in there. So tune in Sunday, and I'll see what's popping. But for the time being, go to TariqElite.com. That's the clothing site, by the way. So anyway, man, a few things we got to talk about on today's show. The topic is nobody cares about you, and I'm talking about black people. I want my brothers and sisters to really get this concept in their heads that nobody cares about you. Nobody cares about us. We have this thing where we feel like we have to cape for everybody and it's going to somehow be reciprocal. We have to go out here and try to represent all other groups. we have to go out here and explain how badly we're being hurt and how badly we're being mistreated. And black people, I really want my people to understand, don't nobody give a shit. We're so past that right now. Nobody in the dominant society or the other societies care about us, our well-being, our children, if we're being mistreated or not. They just don't. I really wish we get that. As a matter of fact, they go out of their way to ignore and sweep our suffering under the rug. And they'll get you to help do that. This is why they always co-opt black people for these other movements. None of these groups in large numbers, and I've said this many times, when it comes to black issues, none of these groups come out in large numbers and speak out for us. When are, and I want black people to be honest, just look around black people. What groups have you seen come out and say, hey, y'all police, y'all need to stop shooting all these black people? We're the such and such organization and we have such and such thousands of members and y'all need to stop it with the way you're treating these black people. Name the group that has done that. The non-black group. I ain't talking about a bunch of black people who are victims of white supremacy. I want you to name any non-black group who has come out in droves and said, hey, the way you're treating these black people, that's just unacceptable. And everybody in the chat room got it right. Zero. None. I ain't talking about one or two people. I'm talking about these groups of people putting their group reputation and their resources on the line to say, hey, the way black people are being treated, no, that's not the move. Now, on the other hand, when it comes to gay issues, black people are the first ones at the parade. Black people are the first ones at the podium when it comes to white women's issues, not women's issues, white women's issues, again, not women's issues, because white women's issues and black women's issues are totally different. I don't know what makes y'all think that you have some kind of common ground with the white supremacist female and they're just as worse as the males. There's the white supremacist females. They're the main ones marginalizing you. But when it comes to the women's march, which is the white women's march, they lined up a whole bunch of sisters to be their spokespersons. As a matter of fact, they'll hide behind sisters. They'll say, well, it was a black woman who came up with the Me Too hashtag, but that's been co-opted for white women. You understand? And now they got the Poor People's Campaign. And some of the politicians who are behind the Poor People's Campaign, because I've openly criticized the Poor People's Campaign, I criticized the black people jumping in the forefront for that bullshit. I've criticized these Negroes. They're going around talking about how we need to help raise the wages for poor people, and they'll get a bunch of black folks for that. And I've been critical of that. And some of these politicians from California, they've emailed me. And that's another thing, family. I got a lot of emails. I get emails all the time from politicians and political people trying to butter me up and sway me. And I always ask them one question. I got one question with all that bullshit they talk. What's going to be done to specifically help black people? And if I get any other answer besides something specific, if I start hearing stuff like, well, minorities can stop. You just lost me. What are you going to do for black people? Well, marginalized people. No, no, no. What are you going to do for black people? Well, incarcerated people. No, no, no. What are you going to do for black people? Where poor people are concerned, have a good day. I want black people to stop playing that game with these folks. They keep playing this three-card Monty game where they deflect away from doing anything for black people. They act like they're going to do it by proxy by bringing up all these other groups. And it never, ever, ever works out in our favor. They always ignore us. That's part of the benign neglect policy. Nobody gives a shit about black people. Nobody cares about us. And we keep trying to get in with these other groups. And it's understandable in some cases. Like, you notice I go in on some of these pretendians, these fake ass non-Indians who claim indigenous status. Most of them, I'm going to say it again, and a lot of them got mad at me. I don't give a damn. I'm going to say it again. Most of these people who claim to be Native American, about 90% of them are phony, phony, phony. They are not Native Americans. They're fake as hell. They done finessed their way onto the Indian rolls. Either they did or their ancestors did. But when you see these lily white people talking about their Native American, they, most of them are lying. It's just that simple. And when black people who've been here for 400 years, we've been here longer than almost every other group, documented through their documents. Now, through our documents, we've been here longer. But of course, we have Native mixed in with us because we've been here on this land for a long time, for centuries. So, of course, we're going to have Native ancestry. So when black people try to claim their indigenous status or bloodline, black people get denied flat out by the white supremacists who are running the show, because this is a way to finesse free land, free education, free medical care, tax exemption. This is a finesse. And up there in Canada, there was a story about some of these suspected white supremacists running this indigenous DNA company, and people can send in their DNA for a couple of hundred bucks, and then they would grant them like Native status. Now, there was one guy, in every blue moon, you'll get a white person who will blow the whistle on other white supremacists. He blew the whistle on them. He said, wait, this test seems kind of weird. And I want y'all to look this up. This happened this week. This one white guy said, hey, these tests, I don't know, these DNA tests claiming indigenous status, something ain't right. So this guy, he bought the test. He bought three kits. And he used one of the kits on himself. I think he used the other kit on his girlfriend. And he used the other swab kit where you swab your mouth. He used it on his dog. He had a chihuahua. So he swabbed the mouth of his dog and he sent all three of them in. Do y'all know the DNA test came back from this bullshit ass DNA company, and it said that the dog was 20% Cherokee. Nigga, y'all better look this up. I am not bullshitting. Nigga, it said the dog was damn Native American. You can't make this type of shit up, dude. So they've been finessing all along. This happened in Canada. I want y'all to look that up. These white supremacists are so damn deceptive. I swear y'all better look this shit up. I mean, they're just so over the top with the bullshit. It's insane. I want y'all to look it up. I tweeted it. It looked like some shit from The Onion or something, but it's dead ass. They got these bogus DNA tests going on because they were out here giving people bogus indigenous status. You understand? But let a Negro go up there with a full-blooded grandma who's Native American. They're like, oh, no, nigga. No, 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 no. No, we can't grant you your card. You're going to have to pay taxes, nigga. You dig? But the thing is, we got to understand, when the white supremacists, man, right now, they're in panic mode. Right now, they are in panic mode. They're desperate at this point, man. They're making desperate moves. And speaking of the Me Too movement, this is how desperate they are to make black men the face. We've been telling y'all over and over how they're trying to make black men the face of the Me Too movement. So whenever they come out talking about a white male being sexually inappropriate, they're going to immediately come back and hit a black man with it. They were saying some stuff about Sylvester Stallone. They're looking into a case or an accusation made about him. And immediately Here they go with a story about Jamie Foxx. They said that Jamie Foxx hit a woman in the face with his dick 16 years ago at a party. So they got it. They got Jamie. We knew they were going to get Jamie. You know, they might get Wesley. They might get Eddie Murphy next. They might even try to get at Samuel Jackson. All of them are going to get it. If they got Morgan Freeman, nobody's exempt. And that, you don't even have to be relevant in Hollywood. There was a woman who was on an episode of Different Strokes when she was 13. In 1980, she was on an episode of Different Strokes. She just did an interview recently talking about Todd Bridges forced a kiss on her backstage at Different Strokes when he was 14, she was 13 back in 1980. So they done Me Too Tom fucking Todd Bridges. They done ran the Me Too game on Todd Bridges going back to when he was 14 years old. He kissed the girl and the way she was talking, like he raped her. Well, we were backstage and we were in the dressing room and he turned the light off and he jammed his tongue in my mouth and I ran out. I mean, oh, so she really sold it. She really, really gave it that old Birth of a Nation. I was raped in the mouth. Oh, she really sold that. I mean, it was a reach. It was a reach. You understand? But these people are desperate right now. They're desperate as shit right now. And they're making bold moves and they're going after soft targets and they're doing ambushes, as we always said. There was a case out here in California in Pasadena. A black woman and her daughter, 5-year-old daughter, they were at a swimming pool at the hotel. A white supremacist man just walked up to them casually and said, "Hey, did you guys take a shower before you got in the pool? Because, you know, there's diseases that can be spread in a swimming pool." Now, he didn't ask none of the white people this. And of course, the black people were offended. And they got into an argument with the guy. And basically the hotel, and he admitted he said what he said. It wasn't, you know, he couldn't hide it. And the hotel manager was like, "Just go back to your room, sir. No arrest." I mean, that was blatant harassment. But we have to understand the situation we're in. These white supremacists are desperate. They're going after soft targets. Women and children directly. And the race soldiers are coming after the black men. The race soldiers working as police officers, they're designated to handle the black men because they're going to need a military. And that's what the police are. The police are the military. And understand, the white supremacist male is cowardly and he has to have a military to back him up in order to attack a black man. That's what the whole police thing is for. That's the whole purpose of getting on the police force. So that you will have military backing. You have the military backing of the United States up against one person. You understand? But when it comes to women and children, black women and children, the average white supremacist civilian, they've now been deputized to attack women and children. You understand? This is why it's very important for us to be on our game. And this is important for us to be on code once we encounter race soldiers. I really want black people to get off this emotional thing when the race soldiers encounter you or somebody then snuck off and called the race soldiers on you, because that's an ambush. That's what they're doing to us. To black men, they got to do these ambush things. And there was another case at a Waffle House where the police was called on a black couple. Because they asked the woman at Waffle House why the bill was so high. I think they called in an order or something like that, and they were going to pick up their order, and it was some extra stuff on the bill, and they asked her why it was so high. What was the extra stuff about? So she called the police on them. And I want black people to understand that once the police are called and there's a white person involved, 9 times out of 10, they're going to be on code with each other and you're going to be at a disadvantage. Unless you called first, you might have a little more leeway. This is why I tell black people, you better get on that phone if you can. But unfortunately, they'll call the police on you for any little thing. So you don't, something, if you go say hi to somebody, you know, they'll get on the phone and say, hey, you assaulted them. So, you know, they'll put you at a disadvantage like that. But when the race soldiers show up, you better act like a prisoner of war. Black people have to act like a prisoner of war. Now, down in, I think this was in Florida. I'm going to get back on the Waffle House in a minute. But there was a case where it was a white pizza delivery driver tried to run this brother over. And the brother threw a fire extinguisher at her car to protect himself. So the police came and he was trying to explain his story. And the police officer wasn't even listening to his side. They naturally took the side of the white woman. They were all on cold with each other. And the brother said, well, damn, you guys are conspiring against me. And then the police officer said, well, you're a piece of shit. See, the police officer was trying to escalate things. And the brother said, well, you're a piece of shit. And then the cop said, well, you're a piece of shit, nigger. Call him a nigger. You dig? And the cop had to resign because the guy had it on tape. And by resign, meaning he's going to be transferred. The cop, he's just going to be transferred, just like it was a cop down there in Georgia, I think. He got caught up in some bullshit, some racist bullshit, and then he got fired one day, and then the same day he got hired by another police force. So they only get transferred. But going back to Waffle House, the case where the brother and his wife were at Waffle House and the police came, the brother started doing all that arguing, talking about what the, y'all ain't going to arrest me for nothing. Y'all better cut that shit out. When you get approached by these race soldiers, when you get caught behind enemy lines, you are in a disadvantage. I want black folks to understand that. When you get behind enemy lines and you get around these race soldiers and they got you behind enemy lines, you are at a grave disadvantage. So be on code. Getting on code means you act like a prisoner of war. Keep your mouth shut. You are at a disadvantage. You are in a war. Y'all better stop acting a goddamn fool around these race soldiers when they got you behind enemy lines. This is audio of the brother who got caught up by the race soldiers at Waffle House. Hold on.
She was explaining it to us and she finished. She called you, so we'll wait until you finish with this. We'll wait until you finish. We're going to wait till you finish. We'll wait till you finish. Till you want to talk to me. No, you said for us to come out here and talk to him, so that's what we're outside for. No, he brought us outside. He brought us outside to talk. Wait, I got to pay our bill. He don't want to come outside.
You told me to go outside.
No, no. Officer told us to come outside. Officer told us to come outside. For what? For what? He ain't did nothing. He ain't did nothing.
Calm down. For what?
So now they're outside the Waffle House. The police came and told them to go outside, told them to pay their bill or they're going to get arrested. So right then, when you see that the race soldiers are on code with the white supremacist female or person who called the police, all of you, you better understand that you're at a disadvantage. All right. Hold on. I'm looking at the chat room. Somebody said, how long are we supposed to stay silent and do nothing? Running your fucking mouth ain't doing nothing. All right. If all you can do is run your mouth and make it bad for your damn self, that ain't doing nothing. We better get off that stupid shit. Just running your mouth once you caught behind enemy lines. You better learn how to be strategic. In a war, just running your motherfucking mouth. Black people got this thing where we think we run our damn mouths, we're going to get something done. No, nigga. You're at a disadvantage. You better be strategic. You better understand war. This is chess. How long are we supposed to be silent? We think we're supposed to be running our mouth and yelling when you're at a total disadvantage. How's that going to work for you, running your damn mouth? And they got you behind enemy lines. You better be strategic and keep your mouth shut. So if the longer you keep your mouth shut, you have an advantage because now if you're fully cooperating and they do something fucked up, they're in the wrong. You can use that to your advantage later. Also, niggas, if y'all listen and stop being so damn emotional, that's the problem. You keep your mouth shut. Okay. She just called the police on me. Okay. Well, I'm silent. I'm just going to talk to my lawyer. Just be cool. Then once everything blows over, because they're not going to arrest you if you ain't acting a damn fool. That's how they get you. They want you to escalate the shit so they can get you for acting a fool. I hope y'all learn that. Y'all haven't figured that out. They know how to push your buttons. That's why they start talking to you crazy, because they know you're going to get emotional. They know they're Negroes. My thing is, stop falling for every damn trap they set for you. That's a trap they set. They go in there and they say something stupid. Well, go pay your bill. You're going to get arrested. Arrested? Man, I ain't do nothing. Y'all ain't about to arrest me for nothing. Hell no. Y'all ain't going to arrest me for yet. And the minute you start doing that, bam, they got your ass. Bam, they got you. You better act like a boss, man. And you be in control of the situation. Don't let them get you all emotional and you talking all that dumb shit. You stay cool, and then you get all of them. You dig all that? Don't, y'all ain't gonna touch me now. All that old shit. No, you are a prisoner at war. You are a POW at that moment. Let me play the rest of this.
We don't know why our bill is so high. That's what she was explaining to us.
Hold up. If you don't pay your bill, you're going to jail.
We was out in there. Listen, we want our bill to be explained to us. And when you come back here, back here and explain the bill to us.
He up here yelling. If you don't, in the race soldier, they're on code. Y'all better understand that these people are on code. The race soldier, if you ain't going to pay your bill, or you're going to go to jail. I ain't going to jail. I ain't going to jail for nothing. I ain't. You telling them what ain't going to happen.
We cannot pay nothing with you if you ain't paying.
I'm not paying on bills because you said it, sir.
Okay, cool. Watch this.
What?
Hey,
what?
If they don't pay your bill, you want to press charge?
What? I don't care about no pressing charge. What's going to press charge for me? Well, I'm willing to pay my bill. I want to understand.
And both of them, y'all ain't look, your man and your lady, that's enough of that. But men and women, y'all and the sisters talking, y'all got to keep y'all mouth shut. You keep your mouth shut. All that yelling ain't going to help you. Number one, they should have been filming the lady who called the police. They didn't film. They so damn emotional and running their mouth and all this old shit, thinking that somebody gives a shit about you being mistreated. That's the thing with black people. We think if we yell and just be so passionate and plead our case that they're going to understand how we're being mistreated. Of course, you're in the right. The black man and the black woman were 100% in the right. We don't live in a right society. We live in a white supremacist society. See, don't get caught up in what's right. Of course we do the thing that's right, but we don't live in a society that's governed by rightness and fairness. We are in a society governed by white supremacy. You understand? We need to really grasp that concept. And it's very difficult because you're taught to do the right thing. And when somebody's, especially somebody who's in societal authority, they're supposed to be upholding the right thing. We don't live in that society. We live in a society based on racial privileges. If you are white, you get racial privileges. If you believe in white supremacy, this is a society that has laid out things for you. Like Neely Fuller said, it's a royalist system, meaning the king can do no wrong. White is right. And getting around these people yelling about how you being mistreated and how wrong this is. No, you do not do that in a situation where you're dealing with a race soldier. You're putting yourself at a deeper disadvantage. Where you are now in warfare, you got to get them on the back end, meaning you stay calm, stay cool, and then once you get out of the situation where you're behind direct enemy lines with gunfire or gunpowder right there next to them, you go back and you hit the Waffle House up like, hey, I was wrongly accused of a crime. I'm going to sue this employee. You start dragging some of these bastards into civil court and the police officers if they did anything wrong to you just because you had a dispute about your bill, then you can hit them back up on a civil level. But once you give them the leeway to throw extra charges on you, talking about what ain't gonna happen, and no, we gotta be strategic. We think everything is some emotional thing where you just gonna cry and plead your damn case. You gotta understand warfare. And you gotta understand when you are at a disadvantage. Other people understand this when they are in war. Let's look at Vietnam. In the Vietnam War, they understood the advantage and the disadvantages they had. The disadvantages they had, they didn't have the same advanced weaponry as the Western nations. They did not have the same advanced weaponry. What they did have, the advantage they had the advantage of ambush. That was their strength. They did a lot of ambush tactics, a lot of guerrilla warfare tactics, catching them off guard. That was their strength. But they understood once the Vietnamese, once they got behind those enemy lines, they knew that they were at a disadvantage. And they had to act like they were at a disadvantage. They weren't going to be like, oh, goddamn, you got me. Fuck that. I ain't about to go into prison camp. Fuck all that. You got me unjustly. You going to put me in the POW camp. Fuck all that shit. What's that going to do? What the hell is that going to do but make it worse? We got to be very clear of what's happening out here. Because, see, the thing is, these white supremacists, they're so coded up right now. You have politicians out here openly running on white nationalism campaigns right now. I mean, these politicians now, because these are the midterms, they're openly running on white supremacist platforms. They're talking about ain't enough white kids going around. What was that politician? Let me play a clip of him. This is a politician. This is a Republican legislator named David Stringer out of Arizona. And this is a speech he just did the other day.
Of public school children in the state of Arizona today are minorities. That complicates racial immigration because there aren't enough white kids to go around. When you look at that 60% number for our public school students, just carry that forward 10 years, 15 years. It's going to change the demographic voting base of this state. And that's what's going on around the country. Immigration is politically destabilizing. President Trump has talked about this. I'm very concerned about this. This immigration today represents an existential threat to the United States. Immigration today represents an existential threat to the United States. Immigration today.
All right. So he's talking about there's not enough white kids to go around and all this old stuff. I mean, in immigration, these are code words. I want y'all to understand all that immigration just means non-white. Immigration means non-white. Let's be very clear, the code words. The white supremacists, after the 1960s, they learned how to use code words to talk about non-white people. Back in the 70s and 80s, they would talk about fighting communism. That's like basically fighting blacks and Jews. You know what I'm saying? People who they considered non-white and non-white collaborators. But and that doesn't say that black folks need to go out here caping for some of these other immigrant groups. All right. Again, they still got to hold their own nuts. But when these people are running openly on white nationalism campaigns, this shows you these people are all about survival right now. They're in survival mode because the white supremacists, they understand that their numbers are dwindling. And their number is beyond dwindling at this point. Their numbers are at an irreversible state right now. They are having a natural decrease. And this is especially happening in these little white supremacist enclaves of these racially segregated areas that they've exclusified themselves in. They're dying off in those areas faster. in several states around the country, the white supremacist population is dying off faster than they're being born. And at this point, it's irreversible. So they are really, really psychologically at war with us. And we don't understand that. When they talk in code like this, they're talking about, hey, we got to get these Negroes in check. And it's just not these extremists. These people, the average white supremacist, your school teacher, your bank, your banker, your lawyer, they think like this. They might not talk in as extreme terms. They know how to codify their language. But understand that a lot of people in the dominant society are on that page right there. But they're worried about their numbers dwindling, because that's a real fact, that next generation can't replenish itself. So this is why they're targeting our children. This is why they're targeting women, and they're really going after black children. This is why when something happens to a black child, we out here begging, crying, pleading, and screaming, and nobody in the dominant society gives a shit, because they're all on the same page of survival. They think, okay, if they harm our children, that's going to save theirs. That's their mentality. But for all intents and purposes, the white supremacists are going extinct. But the thing is, that doesn't mean that you're supposed to wait on them to go extinct, because the thing is, the white supremacists, they're demonic. They're like, if I go, everybody's going to have to go. Do you understand? That's their mentality. This is why they're taking a lot of their anger out on us, on black people. Because we really have nothing to do with their natural decrease, because we don't live in those little segregated areas that they're talking about and all this stuff about immigrants and all. We don't live in those areas. They're already segregated and they're already dying off. So who are they really mad at? The white supremacists are really mad at God. They have a problem with God. And black people, we represent God's first people. We were the first people on the planet. We were created in the image of God, because every person on the planet, they were deeply melanated in the beginning stages. The first people on the planet were melanated people. So we were the original images of God. And black people represent that. I want y'all to feel me. Somebody in the chat room said the white supremacists don't care about God. Absolutely not. That's absolutely true, because they think they're God on earth. And understand, Satan was a god. Let me get a little biblical now. That was the whole riff. If you want to look at the Bible, Satan wanted to be his own god. And the white supremacists, this is why many of them practice Satanism. I'm talking how these folks think. These people look at white supremacy as a god, because white supremacy is a religion. This is why they had stuff like Manifest Destiny, where it was the white god's destiny to have them mistreat and harm and displace people and all this stuff. So these people, they're always trying to conquer nature. You'll notice that. They're trying to conquer God. They're always trying to conquer the animals. They're always trying to conquer the environment, fucking up the ozone layer and just stuff like that. We're going to have to conquer Mount Everest. That's why you go look up Mount Everest. There's a bunch of dead bodies of dead white people around Mount Everest. People trying to climb the mountain, and nature's whooping their ass. A couple of people, they didn't reach the top, but they try to go up there to climb Mount Everest, and there's dead. They can't even get the dead bodies up out of there. The dead bodies are still there. You understand? But there's this thing of conquering and dominating nature, other than living in harmony with it. The other day, I was talking about how there's a lot of alligator attacks on people in the dominant society. A lot of white and Asian people are getting eaten up by alligators and attacked by gators and crocodiles. This is happening all over. It was a, I think it was an Asian, a white Asian woman down in Florida. She got ate up by an alligator. There was an alligator they were trying to put. They captured an alligator down there in Florida. It was some police officers down there. The alligator knocked one of the dudes out, slapped the female officer in the back of the head with his tail. The alligator was whooping their ass. But nature is attacking these people. You know, nature is fighting back. It was a white supremacist male who shot an elephant out there in Africa, and the elephant fell on his ass and killed him. So nature is fighting back. You understand? Nature, yeah, the alligator was tied up too. But then, you know, showing our relationship with nature, there's a brother down in, is a Colombia, is a black man, he's a black Colombian down there in, I think it's Colombia or Costa Rica, but I think it's Colombia, the country of Colombia. There's this black dude down there who basically has a grown pet alligator that he lives in harmony with. Alligator don't attack him. You dig? Alligator attacks on black people are very, very rare. But look that up. Hold on. Let me look this up. I'm trying to give y'all the link of the story about the brother who has the alligator down there in Colombia. It's a black dude, and I mean, he be swimming with it and the whole thing. An alligator don't be fucking him up at all. I'm trying to look the thing up, but I can't find it. But the thing is, the point is, family, I was trying to look it up, but you guys can Google that. But there's a brother down there in Colombia. This brother just right there in harmony with this gator, with this alligator. The thing is, we've always had a harmonious nature or a relationship with nature and animals because we've been here for so long. And I talk about it in Haiti when they had the Bois Cayman voodoo ceremony. They had it in an alligator swamp because they knew that being around the alligator swamp, that would protect them from the white supremacists, because they knew the white supremacists were not going to go up in that alligator swamp. But yeah, monkeys and all that be beating up white people. There was a case a few years ago. These white people got a monkey, and they were fucking around with this monkey, thinking that they dominated the monkey, and the monkey ripped off the husband's face. I mean, fucked him up. Ripped this motherfucker's whole face off. This nigga sitting up here with some sunglasses and some mask on now. He ain't got no face. Fucking around with the monkeys, whereas in Africa, you're living in harmony with the animals. There's a respect there. The animals don't be attacking people. It was a chimp. Yeah, chimp, monkeys, so whatever. All right, we got fucking Jane Goodall in the chat room. All right, nigga. You dig? And hell, even Michael Jackson. He had bubbles for years until Michael Jackson started bleaching his damn skin. When Michael Jackson started bleaching his skin, I think Bubbles jumped on his ass. They had to get rid of Bubbles. Bubbles like, hey, I don't know. Where's Michael? I don't know who the fuck this is. You know, Bubbles, animals don't know about bleach, and they don't know about that. They had to get rid of Bubbles because Michael started looking different. Michael Jackson had bubbles for years when Michael was black. Michael bleached himself. Bubbles went fucking crazy. Bubbles didn't know who the fuck that was. Animals don't know nothing about no bleach. Oh no, we gotta get him. You dig? Bubbles don't know shit about no vitiligo. But the thing is, man, we've always lived harmonious with nature. You dig? And understand, man, the white supremacists trying to get them to stop mistreating you, that's just not going to work. They don't give a shit about us. and them playing dumb. Let's stop wasting time trying to prove racism to people. Just cut that bullshit out. That's a time-wasting mechanism. They love playing dumb. I saw something recently with Bernie Sanders. He read an article. It was an article written about police or the jail reform, and Bernie Sanders acting like, oh, I didn't know that people were being held in jail without bail. Oh, my God. Stop. Oh, just stop it. Stop it. Miss me with all that we didn't know. You did know. And black people, stop falling for that. Let's stop falling for the naive white supremacist bullshit. They know. We always got to explain something to them like they don't know. Remember when Mary J. Blige up here singing to Hillary Clinton? Is it a gun? Is it a knife? Is it a wallet? Then stop it. Hillary and Bill got so many black folks locked up, please. They team white supremacy like a motherfucker. But there's a town out here in California. I forgot the name of it. I think it's in Central California. That in the I think it's a housing community, and in the area on the lease it says it's like white only. It's you can this area is only designated for white only people, and they got this in the lease now. And the news reporter, they were showing the manager and all the people what was in the lease, and everybody was acting dumb. Everybody, I didn't see that. Oh, God, that's awful. Oh, man, we're going to have to look into that and get that changed. You know, it's not enforced, but, you know, we're going to have to look into it. Oh, God, why is that in there? Like, they didn't know that's in there. Was it El Dorado Hills? I don't think that's the name of it. Oh, was it? Okay, that might be the name of it. El Dorado, okay, up in Sacramento, I'm looking at the chat room. El Dorado Hills, yeah. But all of them are acting like they didn't know that shit was in there. That's bullshit. They're playing dumb. There ain't no way they didn't know that was in there. You understand? So don't fall for that, man. Look, the white supremacists, they're not going to stop mistreating you. Let's look at history. When have the white supremacists voluntarily stopped mistreating black people? Ever in the history of white supremacy, which is 500 years, when have they stopped mistreating you? And black people got this thing, well, I'm going to do some spoken word to make them aware of my suffering. I'm treated like dirt. My feelings are hurt. I just want a hug. I need white love. Just fuck all that. No spoken word. We don't need to rap about it. We don't need to do a praise dance in front of white people showing them how bad the white supremacists are mistreating us. Let's cut that bullshit out. We're past that. We way past that. Nobody cares. Nobody gives a shit. Nobody cares about us. Nobody, black folks, if you're listening, all 2 billion of you, it's about 2 billion of you, if you're listening, 2 billion black people, might even be more. Nobody cares about you. That's why all 2 billion of you need to look at the other 1,999,000,000 and say, hey, we need to start giving a shit about each other. Once y'all do that, then you're going to be all right. Once you look at that other 2 billion black people and say, I'm going to start giving a shit about you, and we're going to start giving a damn about each other, you're not going to need the other minority groups to care about you. Because understand, the white supremacists, they've never stopped mistreating you until you made them stop. When you look at history of black people being mistreated, the only way, the only time that it has ever subsided is when black people stood up and said, no more. You had to make them stop mistreating you. And that's just what it is. Begging, dancing, singing, spoken word ain't cutting it. So you better be on your black empowerment mentality 24 hours a day, family. Anyway, y'all, that's been today's episode of Tariq Radio. Hey guys, the Mink Slide album is going to be out next month. our album, my group, Mink Slide, the album is called Egyptian Musk. It's going to be out next month. We're about to shoot another video. Where are my video guys at? I want to get some brothers. Who's in L.A.? All my brothers in here who are videographers, if you're thorough, holla at me, man, because I'm trying to get somebody to do the new video. So holla at me, brothers in L.A. If you're in L.A., if you are a videographer in L.A., email me at info@tariqelite.com. But the Egyptian Musk album will be out in mid-July. Mink Slide, go to minkslide.com to see our first video. It's time. You dig? Yes, yes, the album's going to be out next month. We're going to get it popping next month. Yes, indeed, it's going to be out next month. Yes, that's the name of the album, goddammit. The album is Egyptian Musk. It's taking you back to the 80s and 90s. That's the theme of the album. Yeah, it's going to be on iTunes. It's going to be Tidal, Spotify, all that stuff. So when we put the pre-order up, everybody has to get that, man. It's 10 songs on the album. Funky as hell. Had a good time. We had a great time making it. You dig? What's up, brother? John Doe, you said you were in Florida? But all my videographers, hit me up, man. Hit me up. Anyway, but y'all, go to 1804movie.com. 1804movie.com. Also, go to TariqElite.com to get the gear, all the fresh gear. Go to HiddenColorsFilm.com to get Hidden Colors 1, 2, 3, and 4. All right, guys, you be good. I'm going to holler at you guys Sunday. Peace.